Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Justin Nimmergood, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to another exciting edition and episode of the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm Bruce Cameron along with Justin Nimmergood.
Happy Monday, everyone. I hope everyone had a blessed, safe, joyous, active Easter weekend or whatever, however, and whatever holiday you celebrate. We have a great show planned today. Lots of great information, very timely and relevant information related to COVID-19 that we'll be talking about in today's episode. But before we get into it, you know, just a little catch up. Bruce, what did you guys do to ring in the Easter holiday this weekend?
Well, we ate food. We ate food and we did Easter egg hunts. Oh, you did. On in the yard. So we had several iterations. Each family member had to go it alone and find plastic eggs. Nothing was in them, so it's all COVID friendly. Nothing bad there. But so we had the massive singular Easter egg. It's pretty funny. We have some for my 18-year-old. We did shadow him at 20 feet away filming some of the highlights of his Easter egg hunt, even though he's in college. It's pretty, I know, right? You're still your kids. You know what I mean? I know, Justin, you'll understand what one day. But you're still your kids. You know what I mean? What else did we do? Watched church online. And man, we saw some of your man, Rick Warren. Oh, yeah. Made an appearance there on Fox News, which you would expect to be. Yeah. Rick Warren and Christian friendly, so good to see those broadcasts. And then Franklin Graham had a big deal on Fox News. Michael W. Smith, they're in Central Park in New York, kind of ground zero-ish type of thing. So that was good to see, very affirming and comforting in this time when people feel out of control, trying to acquaint us to our creator. So that reacquaint, not acquaint us. Sorry, man. Whoa. To reacquaint and reestablish. But you know, for some acquainting, but for us, right, folks like us, reacquainting with our creator. So anyway, we won't get into all that. You know, it's another week in our country. It's a very sensitive time, and I tell you, we're having some technical fun here. And anyway, so yeah, it's not that. It's just right. I need to hire Ruby.com and have some lady in China answer my phone for me while we're on the show. Just kidding. Anyway, so yeah, during this time, you know, people in isolation or social isolation, as well as home, staying at home and those things. And interesting, the increasing talk, you know, about the country coming back online. How does that happen? How does business kind of get back in line, even our own? And I can see now he's your governor too. Greg Abbott, the Texas. Look at Justin.
Feel like a Californian. I'm a Californian still. I'm just living in Texas right now.
Oh, okay. You're one of these. I'm in this earth, but not of the state type of thing.
Yeah, I haven't. I'm not quite there
until yet. You get to your transfigured self in California. That's where heaven is. Okay. No. Yeah, heaven on earth. Oh boy. Well, I'll be working on Justin to bring him back to you. Went to the University of Texas. I mean,
but I did my master's at Pepperdine.
Yeah, but I mean, but your blood type is orange, right? No, oh no, okay, all right. Oh, really? I didn't know that, man. It is blue and orange. So I learned something new every day here at Concierge Coaches Show. Because there's a lot of DeGrazio guys walking around out there, the school business, and you're one of them.
Say, I like to say that I grew up in Texas, but I'm from California. So that way you get both.
Right. And you don't really have an accent. I'll tell you that you don't sound like a Texan person per se. If that's a compliment to you, I don't know.
It makes it super neutral. So
there you go. Okay. I was gonna fly that across and see how you'd bite on that one. But so here we are. Yeah. So it'll be really very interesting to see how Texas and other states kind of re-engage with things. If I was a sociologist, I'd be in heaven right now to see how our culture is adapting to this and how everything is on Zoom and how, you know, liquor sales are up, to-go orders are up.
Domestic violence is at an all-time high. Yeah, actually, it's something that, you know, you mentioned Rick Warren. So I, too, actually tuned in, as far as our weekend goes. Saturday was mostly a self-study day, so I think I've shared with the listeners out there that I'm in the process of researching for my California realtor's license. I also have my home improvement license in California, and then I'll likely be, or not even likely, I will be getting my Texas realtor's license as well. So I'll be a dual state license, but it's really a tri-licensed situation, which is pretty rare in the industry. So that was Saturday, but Sunday, you know, was church. It was, morning, you know, watch service. We had breakfast. By the way, speaking of breakfast, Bruce.
Oh yeah.
Your bunny, pancakes.
Duck.
Or duck.
Duck and bunny.
Duck and bunny. Is it just stuff that you hunt or what?
No. Look. Oh, you know what? We might have to put this up on our social media. Once we go to this new fangled platform. Okay. So basically they're molds. Ironish or steel, they're metal molds. It's like a cookie cutter, but for pancakes. It's higher tension steel, thinner steel, and not so tall, obviously. And you pour the pancake batter in there, and boom, that's it. It's a wrap. Wait, and just make sure you know that the thing is pammed or sprayed, you know, so you can get it out without. So anyway, yeah, we had these duck shaped and rabbit shaped pancake, and you know what, just, and again, I know I'm gonna beat you down, but we did that for the kids, and the kids loved it when they were little, you know. I mean, it was a tradition, man. And so, and here they come, you know, in their 20s or whatever. It's like, hey, we're gonna do the pancakes. Like, absolutely.
That's actually special. I was gonna make fun of you and say, do they still care about the tradition now? But obviously they do.
Oh, if we hadn't have done it, we would have caught all kinds of crap. Lastly, we had the other thing. It's kind of like Christmas morning. They go over to the couch, and there would be like when Santa comes with the Easter bunny in this case, and there'd be like it's an Easter basket with chocolate and maybe a PS4 game or some other Louis Vuitton. But just kidding, there's no Louis Vuitton. Little joke there, folks. We don't do that. But anyway, but yeah, there'd be like a little Easter basket for each kid. And so Matt, and because we kind of psyched them out. They just thought like, oh my gosh, we're not going to do these traditions like it. We absolutely are. And they got their pancakes and they looked on the other side of the couch and they were their Easter baskets. I know it sounds kind of corny. Thank you very much. But hey, it was fun though. We beat them to the, yeah, man, good for us. I'm glad we did it and we didn't get lazy and complacent. And go, they're growing up. They won't give a crap. Yeah. But they did. But they did. Well, yeah, I mean, yeah. And so, and we had some smoked meat later on in the day and potato salad. Anyway, we're digressing from show content. All right. So, yeah. So we want to talk about some more economic things, right, Justin?
So, before, the one thing I did want to mention on the personal front before we do pivot to the COVID-19, we'll call it updates and resources, session or episode that we're going to have today. And I know, folks, I know we've had the last couple of episodes have been focused on it. And really, actually, that's by demand. It's part out of demand, and it's part we're kind of in a transition right now with our show, which we'll talk about toward the end of it and some exciting new updates.
Good
that
transit.
We have.
Good
stuff transit. That you are going to absolutely love, I think, as people.
The 90s.
We're going to give it the 90s or the 21st century.
Yeah.
But, on the note of spirituality and religion, I did want to mention, because it's definitely noteworthy. You know, you mentioned Rick Warren. I watched the episode online with Saddleback. Great, just outstanding message. But it's the first time ever in the history of time that we as human beings, as a civilization, have been unable to celebrate Easter in a formal get-together kind of way, where people gather and celebrate the holiday. So I want you to just think about that for a moment. I mean, the impact of COVID-19 has been far more than just economically, far more than just the social dynamics. It is literally shifting the way we are having to celebrate holidays. And not too far off in the near future is July 4th. And I don't know, and I'm not the scientist behind the virus, but if I was a betting man, I would say that July 4th plans you probably are going to, you know, be watching on TV and all that as well. You know, the reason is this: the scientists that I've been following and the research I've been following, you know, and you mentioned Abbott, which we'll talk about him too. He's a whole nother guy.
Go easy on the
yeah, ball. Well, I'm going to go easy on him, but I just hope he
County Sheriff's coming here.
Okay.
Cuff you up, bud. All right.
All right. Well, I'm not a resident yet, so they got to find me first.
That's just not too long.
But the virus is still rampant. It's still spreading. We in the U.S. have the highest death toll now of any country. We surpassed, I think it was last week, we surpassed Italy as far as the most deaths of any country. We're, you know, obviously we're one of the more highly populated countries in the world, but part of this is how we handle things. And people in the U.S. are not taking, I've seen varied, right? I think there's a polarity going on. I think there's a subset of people that don't take this seriously. No, you know, with all due respect to them, they think this is a joke. They think this is a government conspiracy or something. And, you know, whether they're intentional and deliberate about it or just being laissez-faire about their approach to it, I see these people at grocery stores not taking proper precautions. I mean, folks, people are literally dying every day. I mean, just today I read about three former professional, Tavares Jackson, actually. He was a quarterback. He died, I think, last night. So people that are now even in the best of health or were in the best of health are even dying. And the reason that has significance is because prior to like the last couple of weeks, most of the people that were dying and were infected were either, and Bruce and I were talking about this pre-show, they were old or on the older side, right? And we mean, you know, 60, 70 plus, right? Kind of a senior citizen age range, we'll call it. Not that that makes you old, right? I don't like labels, but you know, their age is up there a little bit, right? They were unhealthy, obese, had chronic conditions of some sort, or they were smokers or drug users, right? And it's kind of interesting when you really break that down, and if you're spiritual or if you're a spiritual person or believer of any kind, it kind of makes you wonder, because it made me wonder. It's like, if this was all a godly act, let's say, why are these subsets of people kind of going through this, right? Just putting that out there, just for thought and debate, you know, internally or externally later. But that was interesting. But now that the virus has progressed, we're actually seeing more death counts of people that are, by most people's standards, quite healthy, right? Former professional athletes now, and the death count of that is going pretty high. So this is nothing to be, you know, taken lightly. Make sure you're taking all the proper precautions. I would highly encourage you, regardless of what state you're in, different states are at different severity levels and different, I would call it different parts of the process. But if you're not taking the proper precautions, you are not only putting your own life at jeopardy, but you're putting thousands or probably, you know, tens of thousands of other people's life at jeopardy too. And this is something that, you know, they're expecting a second wave from. You know, hopefully all the states, in my opinion, I believe, you know, this is my personal perspective, we should cut to the bone, meaning we should hold out as long as humanly possible on the first wave so that the second wave, the impact of it is minimal. Because any of you out there that know anything about second waves, they're oftentimes more deadly than the first wave if they don't handle the first wave correctly. So a lot to think about. Here in Texas, Governor Abbott, from what I understand, you posted, so you know more about this than I do. He posted something about there's an intention to reopen soon. Mm-hmm. What's the date and all that on that?
I don't know the date, just soon.
Okay. Yeah. So he is aggressively trying to reopen, which I think at some level we have to, there is going to be a balance of a trade-off, right? Of how many human lives can be afforded for a complete economic collapse, basically. And I think that's what all the experts are looking at, is what it, you know, weighing the quote unquote trade-off. Kind of crazy though, that you think that we're actually to a point in this epidemic where we're trading off human life at that significant of a level. When you really think about it, I mean, when have we ever had to do something like that? Never.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, never. So interesting times. So moving right along here. Today we'd like to talk about, and this was provided, this will be kind of a follow-up to something that Bruce and I got, or rather Bruce got, and he forwarded on to me, but you know, I certainly studied and made sense of, which is the 10 tips to small business in filing for emergency federal coronavirus crisis relief, right? The last couple of weeks on our episodes, we've talked about that there's all kinds of opportunities, there's money and grants and forgivable loans, and there is economic assistance out there. You just have to know where to find it, and you just have to know how to file for it, right? So here's tip number one, right? And it is to stay persistent and relentless in seeking the federal relief through the PPP and EIDL, which is Economic Impact Disaster Loan Program. Now is no time to give up or slow down this pursuit. We're still early in the process. Many of these loans and grants are, from what I've read, Bruce, correct me if I'm wrong, going to be open and available through the summer, with impact paying out through some of them all the way through the end of this year. Some of them are just paying out through the summer. I think, like in the case of the SBA forgivable loan that we've talked about a couple of times, that one, the application on that's going to be open until September 4th or somewhere in that time frame, I believe. So again, you know, this stuff is going to be open. If you haven't applied yet, don't think just because you haven't applied that you're totally screwed and, you know, you're going to be SOL. But I would say, if you haven't applied, ask yourself why you haven't. And I, again, like we talked about last week, take notes from what we talk about today and every week for that matter, but especially today, if this is a relevant topic to you, make a little checklist and make sure that you're knocking this stuff out every week, because new things change every week. And if you're not moving the ball forward on these things, you're going to miss out. It's as simple as that. And just by the way, just because the applications are open through the summer, i.e. until September, does not mean that you will make the application call. Okay. Case in point, for the SBA loans, I think they are accepting 1 million small business owner applications. They might be, I don't know what the count is at, because I don't work in that department, but they might be pretty close to that already. I don't know, you know, again. So again, the sooner the better on all this stuff. But just because you haven't applied yet and you think you might be out or SOL, do it anyway.
Do it anyway,
right? But a lot of this stuff doesn't take long either, right? You know, 10, 15 minute applications from what I've seen. Do you want to do number two here?
Wow, we're sharing, huh?
Yeah, we're sharing.
Wow.
We're sharing across our...
Usually I ball hog these shows, but Well, number two is keep calm and don't panic. Recognize that the Small Business Association, the banks, and the rest of government agencies are experiencing immediate, tremendous demands on their resources that are unprecedented and unforeseen. Boy, everybody is. You know, my other revenue stream with the federal prison system, and they're reviewing COVID cases to let out on home detention. Everything is flooded, particularly when people are in need and they want something. So again, keep calm and don't panic. You know, don't have a sense of entitlement. Well, you know, I've been a taxpayer for, I'm a baby boomer, and God dog it, I've been paying taxes, and therefore I'm entitled to a quick response. No. So he's just, they're going to get to you when they can. You know, but yes, as Justin said, please give yourself that opportunity to put in the paperwork to go out there. That's why we want people to go out and vote. You know, want people to go out there and at least exercise their right to at least have access to the chance to get something, rather than choosing not to do anything, thinking like, oh, well, it'll never happen to me. That's not a good mindset to have. And so get out there, but be calm and don't panic and try to be patient.
Yeah. And just to parlay what you said about the sense of entitlement, that's really important, folks. It's funny because I've seen, again, the both ends of the spectrum, on especially on social media. I read someone's post. I will leave this person nameless, anonymous, but they were talking about how they've been a gym. I think they're basically a gym owner, right? They own several gyms, and they've been an honest taxpayer. And this is someone in California, I will say that.
As opposed to a dishonest.
Right. An honest taxpayer, paying all their taxes for the last several years, and all that they've done for the local region and the area and the state. And I'm like, thinking to myself, with all due respect, you know, sweetheart, you're a pimple on the government's ass, okay?
Or a grain of sand.
You know, it's first of all, her you know, response or her post is not very humble in the first place. And especially following Easter, if you're not in a mindset of humility and gratitude, then you need to be smacked upside the head, because this is the perfect time to reinvigorate, to reignite that. I know for myself, at least, you know, coming out to Texas, just that act in itself was a very humbling experience. So make sure that you're practicing that. And by the way, something that, you know, I grew up learning, that you probably grew up learning too, you know, prepare for the worst, hope for the best, right? I mean, it's one of those key principles that if you are doing that, yeah, it'd be great to get the SBA forgivable loan of 10 grand with free money. But don't plan on it, folks. Yeah. Don't plan on it. That's kind of like the, hey, if the check shows up, you're like, awesome, right? But don't plan on it. So number three, things will improve. The SBA is daily adding participating banks to the PPP. The Federal Reserve is buying already approved PPP loans from banks to give them incentive to ramp up their participation in the program. There is growing political support to expand the funding of both the PPP and EIDL programs. So that this is just more of a statement, right? But new programs, new offers, new banks, it's like anything. It's the law of supply and demand. With more banks participating, gives more options, right? With more options, you know, more awareness and more opportunities for you to collect on forgivable and non-forgivable loans. And economic stimulus opportunities. So that's pretty much what that one's saying. Number four.
All right, number four. You know, to file a PPP application, contact your primary bank first. If you have an existing business loan with that bank, then they have the incentive to work with you and support your application to increase the security of their loan to you. So, yeah, contact your banker first to make sure what avenues may be available through their eyes.
Yeah, that one is interesting, because there are some that are through the government, there's some that are through the banks. Make sure you're fully researching, fully vetting both avenues, because you might get a better rate or get approved for more or whatever through your bank than versus through the government directly, or vice versa. you don't know, so make sure you're consulting and researching both thoroughly. Number five, after filing the PPP application, don't stop. Also file the EIDL, and that's the Economic Impact Disaster Loan, and the EIDL loan grant applications with SBA. This increases your chances of getting financial relief. If you get both PPP and EIDL loans that exceed your needs, you can reject the EIDL without any penalty. So what this is talking about is basically that, like we're talking about, explore all avenues, essentially apply for all avenues. If you get approved for one, if you get approved for multiple, rather, and you find that, you know what, I don't need to accept all these, you can then reject them after the fact without penalty. So this isn't one of these where, like, sometimes with a home loan or something, where if you apply for it, then you're bound and obligated to accept that loan. Most all of these are giving you the power as a U.S. citizen, and hopefully a taxpaying U.S. citizen, to explore these options as they come in and as you see fit. So again, take advantage of any and all of them out there that you come across.
What about a green card holder? I don't know.
We'll have to save that one for
another show. Yeah, but that's green card holders. Some of those folks pay taxes too. Hey, you know what I'm saying? And very much a part, an integral part of the community and our economy as well. So shout out to the green card holders. All righty. Next one is to make sure that the PPP and EIDL applications that you file are accurate and complete. Any incomplete or inaccurate filings would be sent back for you for delay for correction. Lastly, I'd also like to say, don't falsify any information on those, because that could be construed as criminal behavior. So please don't, depending on what they're asking, tell an untruth that could get you in trouble, but also make sure they're accurate and complete.
Yeah. And the falsifying information is a big one there. First of all, just as far as ethics, we don't talk about ethics much on this show, but I want to bring this up because this situation is causing people to do
desperate things.
I mean, desperate times cause for desperate measures, but there's a difference between doing something desperate that's legal and ethical. And if you had a moral compass in front of you, you'd say, okay, that's by the moral compass, or that's by the golden rule, or whatever, and doing something that's just flat out shady, unethical, illegal. A lot of people are doing some very shady stuff right now. And you know, I've been there. I mean, like, let's just get real for a second. I've been there where, hey, even just this tax year, right? Because I'm like, hey, I'm in a pinch and I want to, maximize my deductions, and ooh, can I write this off? Can I write that off? Can I use these transfers to this person as a gift? Right.
Oh, nice.
Ooh, buy the book, right? Buy the book. And I look back on it, it's like, I probably didn't get as much or collect on as many deductions as I could have been if I was really aggressive with it. But yeah, at the end of the day, you have to live with yourself You have to live with your decisions. And I'll tell you, this stuff will catch up with you. I talked, this was a couple weeks ago, on one of my Instagram or Facebook lives, about how creepy and eerie it was that when I did my reconciliation for my taxes, I found that I was short in one area by an amount that I basically shorted in my tithing commitment. Kid you not.
Whoa.
Like, to the cent, Bruce. To the cent. I'll send you when I get, back to the ranch later. I'll show you send you a text message.
No, I got you.
But literally to the cent. So again, as a believer, and again, whatever your belief system and structure is, whether it's just a higher power, whether it is of a religion or whatever, some energy or supernatural force is watching. I can promise you that. And this exercise, when I went through it, it was creepy. It was so scary. Wow. I mean, it was just eerie, like, to the center. So And that was a tithing commitment I made, I guess, starting last summer, shorted. And, you know, you didn't do it. Oh, no one's going to know if you don't do it. Oh, no, nope, someone knows. Someone knows. Yeah. It's the creator above. So. Yeah, absolutely. Here we are. I think I'm...
you want to do number seven?
Nope. Yeah, it's your turn.
Oh, it's my turn.
Yeah, I am just talking.
It's like a board game.
It's like a board game.
It's your turn.
Playing,
roll the dice.
We're playing Loiteria. Yeah, playing Loiteria. Which they just came out with a new version of it recently.
Really?
Yeah, I saw that on online. Okay, number seven. Since the PPP, that's a tongue twister, and EIDL applications require you to submit specific financial data about your business, contact your CPA or tax preparer for help if needed to ensure your applications are complete and correct. I thought you did. No.
Number seven.
Oh, you did number six.
I did six.
Well, that's seven. Seven. So seven's very similar to six about accuracy, and but so seven is really more taking it a level further, making sure you're getting with a professional tax preparer, financial analyst, or whoever that knows the tax laws in and out. Okay,
and can check your work.
Yeah,
basically, do the application, have somebody proofread it, like a CPA or somebody who's very knowledgeable to check your work. So awesome. Next one is keep in close contact with your creditors. Let them know that you're pursuing this emergency federal relief, and if possible, make partial payments to them as a sign of good faith. They generally have incentive to work with you on deferred payment terms, since the alternative to them is normally worse. They'd rather get something than nothing.
Absolutely. That's a big one. And I'll add to that because I'm going through a little personal situation with someone right now. But understand the dynamics of your account, whether you are an owner, a co-owner, an authorized user. I'm talking specifically about credit card accounts, obviously, right now. For co-ownership, you are 100% liable for anything you or the other person or people on that account rack up in credit card spending. And it will impact your credit score now and later, right? So that's on your credit history, essentially. Whether you like it or not, it is. It's there, and it's there to stay. You know, obviously, it takes about 7 years for that kind of stuff to fall. Now, if you're an authorized user, that's different. So authorized users, their credit score is impacted negatively or positively during the time in which that account is open and they are added as an authorized user. After they are removed from that account or whatnot, it takes about up to 60 days, sometimes a little longer, for the credit agencies to get notified by the bank or the host credit card company, let's say, of that change in the account status. And then at that point, the credit, the authorized user's credit will be essentially brought back to par, for lack of a better term, right? So in other words, if they were, you know, 800 score, they went down, you know, during the authorized usership, and then they were removed as an authorized user, about 60 days later, you know, they should go back up to their original credit score, right around there, assuming they didn't have any other marks against them. Now, that's all important because this is a time where, you know, your credit score and your credit rating will be evaluated as part of some of these applications, not all of them, but in some of them that are where more money is being granted or at stake, they will be looking at that because obviously the government, if they're going to provide money, they want to provide it to people that they believe can do something good with it, and possibly even pay it back. At least for the non-forgivable ones. You know, obviously, the forgivable loans are forgivable. But the non-forgivable loans, they're going to be looking at all that.
They sure are. All right, this next one's real important, Justin. And I'm, you know, even though things are going okay here, I am practicing this one. Stay especially close to your landlord for your business property. If you have a business property, a business rental. Although there is no temporary moratorium on evictions in some places, some areas, your rent obligations will continue. Although you should check your lease terms to be sure. If the landlord If the landlord is the most important creditor affecting your ability to continue in business, give them the priority attention in negotiating payment terms. Once again, sometimes something is better than nothing. Business owners with mortgages on their business property should contact and work with their lenders for the same reasons. So I don't personally have a business mortgage, but I can assure you I have two landlords, one evil and one benevolent. And the evil ones, of course, in Dallas. Yeah, the evil ones in Dallas.
Those both bad.
Well, I mean, but the benevolent ones here and where we do the show out of most of the time. And but luckily, I haven't missed a beat with anything, but they were actually offering, like, hey, if you're a couple of days, late on your rent, don't worry about it. Like, no, I'm good. Just kind of keep the dream alive. And I like to keep my books running as long as I can, so I'm big about structure and routine. Things happen when they're supposed to happen and trying to carry that forward. But anyway, for love of God, though, have a good relationship. If you didn't have a good relationship with your business landlord, you might want to have one now, man, because that person really has the cojones. Yeah, have your cojones in your hand, their hands or whatever. But be careful. Yeah, it is worth now, if not before, have that relationship if you can. And with my other landlord, I call the evil empire, kind of like Darth Vader, the Death Star. Over there in Dallas, or you could do this online. It doesn't matter. You could have a credit card. It doesn't matter. And they're just like, man, there's like, yeah, there's like in this little colony of droids. There's probably like six. Seriously, there's like at least 50 of us in this one pod that are small business people. Now we have these. It's in a nice building and a nice office. But it doesn't matter. You could take something out on your credit card, and you're still going to get hit with late fees. Like, man, and of course, all the services that you pay for as a part of the rent, i.e., the secretarial things, the copy machine. Nobody's there. Yeah. There's nothing there but like nothing. A thing of hand sanitizer and like no. Yeah, they pull the mail every other day. It's like jail. You know what I mean? When can I come out for a shower? Anyway, I digress. So hopefully everybody out here has a benevolent landlord and they'll work with you. But please stay on top of your status with your landlord. And if you can, something's better than nothing. But communicate with them and see where they are on the spectrum of niceness, if they'll work with you or not. So, yeah.
And so I can speak a little bit further, I guess, about California specifically, because I was pretty I've been pretty intimate with obviously that state and their laws out there, and in regular contact with majority of my network of people that still lives out there. So the rent, or I guess the eviction moratorium out there in most cases is through July. So it's basically have four months to kind of get your act together, so to speak. So use that time wisely. I mean, we've mentioned time and time again how this time is first time in history for a lot of things. But if you're using this time wisely with all the different outlets, even if you did unfortunately lose your job or something like that, 4 months is a lot of time. 4 months is a long time to even find a new job or find a new outlet, find a new additional stream of income. There's unemployment benefits, obviously, in every state as well. If you were W-2'd, I'll talk about 1099 in a moment, though, because I got kind of an interesting update on that front. But that's the eviction moratorium. And a lot of the renters, so if you're a true pure renter, especially in an apartment or condominium complex, and especially if you're in Orange County, California, where Irvine Company owns, 90% of the real estate market. I know this is the case for Irvine Company property, managed properties. I don't know if it's for others. I would imagine that others are probably going to follow suit. If they haven't yet already, they probably will. But they are providing a 50% rent, temporary rent reduction deferral, meaning for the month of April, May, June, and July. So again, the same time period as the eviction moratorium, they're saying, hey, not only are we not going to we're not going to evict you, but we're also going to give you 50% off. So, you know, in California, average rent, you know, whatever, $2,500, $3,000 a month or something like that for your average 1-2 bedroom. So they're giving you half off, not half off, but they're giving you a deferral of half off now to be paid by the end of 2020. So what that means is if you do take the deferral, that will be added to the back half of the year. So keep that in mind, folks. To Bruce's point, you know, about his discussions with his landlord, he's like, yeah, I'm just going to pay it. This isn't one of those situations. You know, cash is still king. It always will be. If you have the cash to pay for your rent and your other bills, just keep doing that, obviously. Okay, that goes without saying, because if you defer it, and you didn't need to defer it, you're probably going to screw yourself on the back half of the year.
Don't get greedy or try to...
Yeah, don't try to, mess with the system, right? And it varies, by the way, on when your lease term is up and this and that. So there's a lot more contingencies to it. But there are, again, there are economic stimulus plans and whatnot that are in place for those type of situations. On the 1099 front, as I mentioned, for the economic stimulus, I obviously applied for that as well, and I was rejected, at least in the state of California, because of my status, also the amount of income that I cleared last year. I think probably put me in a different bracket and this and that, but point being, the unemployment and the economic stimulus, that's really more for the W-2 folks that are that have been furloughed or laid off or whatnot. It's not really designed for the small business owners, unfortunately. So for all you small business owners, again, that's why it's important to keep tuning in with us every week, because we're going to keep giving you the latest and greatest on what's out there and what's available. It's going to be more programs like the SBA forgivable loan and some of the unforgivable loans, EIDL, that are going to be your better options. And obviously, you can always go to your bank and see what their rates are.
1099, I want you to run out.
That was part of that. Okay. So, number 10. Last but not least, number 10. Follow information releases closely from the SBA score, which this whole list of 10, by the way, came directly from score out here in Texas, the Chamber of Commerce, and your SBA supported bank. Things are changing rapidly in the details and in administration of the federal emergency relief program. Things are changing literally daily, because what they're doing is unfortunately, we're in a reactionary mode right now as a country. And a lot of these programs are reactionary based on the data inputs that they're getting from the disease itself. So you have to stay up to date with this. This isn't something you can check in, do right. once, and you know,
it's constantly moving.
Yeah, do it, you know. And leave it alone, you know. Set it and forget it. I guess you have to keep with it every day. So just make it part of your daily routine. That's my personal perspective. Every day I've interwoven, you know, just a couple minutes. I don't try to go nutty with it, but a couple minutes to check in on things. I don't tend to watch the news. I do tend to try to read some sort of online recent article from, you know, the morning of or whatever, just because I don't like to see all the negativity on the media, about it. But I do want to be informed, obviously, as a U.S. citizen.
Right. Well, this is good. I mean, there's hope out there, like I said, with stimulus checks and other types of programs and this type of a program, you know, or these tips. You know, for small businesses, if you're in the process of filing for emergency relief, you know, all these things can really help out. And I think some of these tips are helpful guidelines for anybody that's a small business owner, regardless of their station in life or the station they are in their affairs, particularly, you know, getting to know your landlord, you know, keeping close contact with creditors, particularly those of you in manufacturing capacities that are, you know, or have a large ass payroll or have a lot of materials in manufacturing. You're out there on the front lines, going out there with lines of credit with pending work orders and stuff like that. And man, you know, we feel for you. And I have a little familiarity with the consulting companies in the manufacturing space, and that is a tough go. So hopefully some of these tips were helpful for everybody, and that's good that I'm glad we're keeping a business focus again this week on the Concierge Coaches Show, because at the end of the day, we got to keep the lights on with our businesses.
Yeah, and just in the spirit of obviously Easter weekend and redemption and resurrection, and you know, we all have that opportunity, not only personally but professionally. I would say, if economically or financially, let's say, you know, you're struggling, now more than ever is important for our country, for us as human beings, to band together. I don't know about you, Bruce, but I've seen a lot online on social media. There are some great people doing some incredible things.
Post 9/11.
Yeah, you know, starting foundations, you know, formally or informally, that are serving the needs of the community at large. I mean, I guess my point with this is there's so many ways to get involved. It doesn't have to just be financially. It can be from a time perspective, right? Give your time, give your effort. I can't tell you and stress how important it is that we pay it forward, because I'll tell you one thing, we're not going to get through this thing alone, right? If you're one of those that hoards your money and hoards your time and all that, guess what? You're going to be left alone. And this is something I'm you know, speaking from the heart and speaking from experience, that, you know, I've had my moments of, you know, where I've been super selfish or whatnot. This is not one of those times. You probably shouldn't anyway, but this is definitely not one of those times. You know, we need to be uplifting each other, empowering one another, finding ways to give back, to be involved. You don't have to start a formal foundation, but start something. Start, you know, and it only starts with one person. You only need one person to start, you know, a quote unquote movement. It starts with one, and then it becomes the snowball effect. So find whatever it is that you're passionate about, and see what you can do to either spearhead it or to help congregate and get others together around that cause as well, because there's all kinds of causes underpinning from coronavirus that need help, right? This is more than just the sickness and illness and healing of it. There's all kinds of, again, underpinning, causes, you know, and reasons to get involved for this. So keep that in mind as well.
Absolutely.
I think that's
got 2 minutes there.
That'll basically
bring
us to the house. Yeah.
All right. Well, folks, another great show here on the Concierge Coaches Show. And like Justin said, stand by for future enhancements to the show in terms of some video capability, live streaming on Instagram, possibly watch parties on Facebook, possibly, and some other video stuff. So, it means, are you going to shave then? Or you kind of got that Don Johnson?
No, I like that.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we got Mr. Rico Scruffy.
It's a David Beckham.
David Beckham. There you go. I forgot. I had to go back, you know, to the 80s. Yeah, mind
like
advice.
A little bit of scruff. Not a beard, but a little bit of scruff.
All right.
So, yes, we will be coming at you next week for the first time. It's going to be a bit of a beta, alpha or beta.
Beta
test case for us. So bear with us. For those of you that are used to listening to our live streams, and it's probably perfect and works perfect, next week may or may not, right? You know, it might be great. It might have some technical glitches and whatnot, but just bear with us, because to Bruce's point, we always want to add more value and serve you at a higher level. And candidly, not only is Zoom the hottest thing on the market right now, but it's a way for us to connect with you at a much deeper and more intimate level, right? And so next week, we will be, for the first time, conducting our podcast over Zoom. So get excited for that. You'll see us on video, and we'll be, I think, trying to stream it live, at least on Facebook, if not Facebook and Instagram, live at the same time. So exciting stuff coming ahead, and then we have more changes coming at the end of the month as well. But make sure you tune in next week. It'll be the first, our launch party, if you will, for Zoom.
All right. So with that, check us out on our social media platforms, the Concierge Coaches on LinkedIn, on Instagram. We have a little Facebook page. Also, you can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, all of our shows, or most of them anyway, within the last couple of weeks, are already downloaded and with show summaries and available for you to listen to for free. We take care of that, so you don't have to pay for listening to the show. We got that covered. So, and then I think we're going to be diversifying on some podcast aggregates and stuff like that. Anyway, well, look, everybody, stay safe. You know, remember the quarantine, remember social distancing and hygiene practices and washing hands and all the good stuff that we know keeps us at least safer from infection. And have a blessed week. And we'll see everybody here on the Concierge Coaches Show on LA Talk Radio. Take care, everybody.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Justin Nimmergood, only on LA Talk Radio.